I preached on, well, I just taught a little bit on baptism. I'm going to run through just a few things here on baptism tonight, because there's people here that perhaps wasn't here the other night, and I'll try not take long tonight because we're going to have a baptismal service. As you very well know, this is very, very unusual, having this in a service like this, and also having a baptismal pool out in the front. Always, as a rule, your baptismal pool is behind and there's a wall. Well, the reason for that is all things have certain spiritual values and spiritual significance and are types and shadows and very allegoric. Little Bethlehem seems to have something from God as to, not that we're any more special than anybody else, because Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. But there is a difference. The Bible speaks where Peter said, God making a difference between us chose me to go down and open the door to the Gentile church. So there's a difference as to his plan and his program. There's a difference in the 24 kings is going to sit around the throne, and that's the difference. And there are going to be kings that will be leaders out there in the millennium and in the world to come that will come in periodically and bring the glory and praise of the people to the great Lord of Lords and King of Kings, casting their crown down at his feet as to acknowledge him as the great, wonderful, superior Lord of Lords and King of all the kings. When this building was put up, I had told the brethren that it was highly significant in many ways, and we did not try to plan anything. God does his own planning, and God does his own thing, and you cannot make revelation, and you cannot do things that would make revelation. Revelation, first of all, is the mind of Christ as to the mind of God which was manifested in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, let this mind of Christ be within you, which is the mind of revelation. That is to say, it is a veiled thing. We preached one night here and brought out how that a mystery is a revelation within the veil. And a revelation is a mystery revealed. And the Bible said that the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God should be finished. So then this little sacred desk came about here as to these seven candlesticks that found their way up here. And then it came about that many other things was put as to what these little things are, as to the way they were made. They used to have little dangles, beautiful little dangles on them. And some of them took them off. But they were very allegoric as to the covering cherubs. And this is to the ark and as to the throne up here. And then out in front of the throne was a sea of glass. And that's how this pool came to be in the front of the sacred desk. So then the veil being rent in twain, it's no longer as ordinarily as to being behind the veil, but the veil being rent in twain as to here, out front as to the resurrection of the dead. How many of you know that you're baptized for the dead? So tonight, if I go to baptize anybody, please don't bring anybody up here alive. I don't want to bury any living folks. We're just looking for dead folks to bury. And if you are not dead so far as the flesh and as this world, and if you haven't turned the world off to yourself, and you don't need to come up here. Because if you're sitting around watching TV, and we're going to get real pacific tonight. Matter of fact, we're going to even talk about the street that you live on. And we're going to talk about what the Lord told Paul when he said, Paul, you know, he could have said, you're very religious, Paul. Paul was supposed to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, blameless, touching the law, for zeal, persecuting the church, and thought he was doing God a service. But at the same time, he was blind. Very religious, but blind. And one day, God sent some light. And that's what he's done to Bethlehem. He sent a great light. And the Bible said, and light is spring up unto them that sat in the regions of darkness, which means intellectual ignorance. Great light has spring up unto them. And the darkness could not comprehend the light. But as to them that love the Lord, they comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. So God said to Paul, Paul, you need to go down to the street called Straight. Now, if you're living on crooked streets, you need to get off of that and go down to the street called Straight. Hey, they told the prophet, said, where you dwell is too straight for us. So you need to go down to the street called Straight. If you're still in this thing of sitting around watching television movies, carnal things, somebody says, well, nothing but the little house on the prairie. Well, maybe that will do. You know, if it's nothing but the little house on the prairie, then we'll make allowance for that, for the hypocrite. Let's give the Lord a prayer. All right, and if there's anything else, well, we'll get to that too. But nevertheless, somebody said, glory to God. Do you believe that, Brother Pike? I sure do. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, so if you're sitting around watching it, gazing at television, and you're also listening to things on the radio that is not virtuous, that is not sacred, you need to quit it. I know we've got spiritual babes and the people that have never known these things, and they're just coming in. I realize that. We've had them coming in ever since I've been here, and we've had to work with them, and we feed the babes on milk, because the meat belongs to the strong. They have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about? I mean that some of you that's been here 10 and 15 years, you're not babes, you're hypocrites. Let's give the Lord a chance. There's a difference between a babe and a hypocrite. You know, a babe is somebody that don't know and they have to grow up into it. And then when they learn, they grow up and they get the right mind and they go the right way. A hypocrite is one that sits around for 10 or 15 years and hears the same thing. And the next thing you know, they're at ball games and movies and all kind of things. They're in frolics. And they're like a swing. They're just in and out. As I say, they go in and out. They stay out there long enough to associate themselves with the swine and with the dogs, as the old sow wallowing in a mire and the dog lapping his vomit. And they come back and all the tables of God get filled with vomit. Because the Bible speaks of being lukewarm and God spews you out of his mouth. Now somebody would say, well, bless God, I thought he was going to baptize tonight. Well, that's what we're going to do. But we're going to have to baptize. You are baptized for the dead and we're going to have to bury the dead. And I got to kill you before I put you in the water. Feeling better now? All right. So the Bible said the letter killeth. But when we get through with the letter, we're going to bring the spirit and it's going to make alive. All right, so then I'm just telling you folks, of course, when it says the letter killeth, it's speaking about the law, and when we speak of the spirit that maketh alive, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So, if you're sitting around doing these things, and if you won't dress right, somebody said, now what is dressing got to do with it, Brother Pike? Well, it's like I've said a number of times, you've heard me say it, that somebody said something to me one time, said, preaching on the clothesline. I said, yep, praise God. Because if somebody don't preach on it, there ain't going to be no clothes on the line to preach on. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said God found him naked when he come. And that's about the way it is right now. He's just about to find him in that kind of condition. All right, so then the Bible said dress as becometh holiness. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, I do certain things certain ways. Well, let's forget about that, and let's do it God's way. Amen. See, he said for me to preach the word, and the word says, dress as becometh holiness. You love the Lord? Amen. Said, follow in my steps. You ever read in Revelation where it said, and his garment was down to his feet? Somebody said, oh, bless God. Do you believe that? Yep, I believe that. I believe in following in his steps. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. Of course, that ain't no problem today. It's done got to be the style now, you know. You can't hardly do it for Jesus now because it's done got to be the style. You're just blending in. But anyway, I'm just telling you, if you're not living right, if your heart isn't right, it's like when we take the Lord's Supper. See, when you gather together to take the Lord's Supper, you're supposed to search your heart, examine your heart, see if you're in the faith, and then tarry and pray one for another that God may heal you. Many people are sick because they fail to discern the Lord's body as to the broken body, as to the bread of life, and as to his blood, as to life. See, and when we come together, we are not supposed to take that supper or that bread unworthily. And I differentiate a lot of times. When we say unworthy, that's one thing. We are worthy by the blood. But when we say unworthily, that is through carelessness and unconcern. It's not really trying to understand what the thing is all about and just gullibly coming in. Paul said, if you're hungry, eat at home. Said, this is the house of God. Do you despise the house of God? This is the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And it should be very sacred. For he said, if you do not do these things that I tell you, then you're not my disciples. And besides that, if you do not this the way I tell you, then you eat and drink a damnation to your soul. So you want to be sure that you're sure, that you're sure, that you're sure. So then, if you're not going to do that, don't bring sorrow to your home and don't bring heartaches. Don't be a hypocrite. If you know that you're not going to follow the word of God and if you've not repented, there's only one thing that's required, and that is repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it is unto you and unto your children, as to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, salvation shall be taught as to remission of sin in his name. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. And I'll say this again to you, because I'm not going to take long here. I am called as a minister to remit sin. And judgment begins in the house of God. Now, bear with me for just a minute or two so we have clear conscience. You are not saved by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Though you need to put away the filth of the flesh. And if you've got the Spirit of Christ, you will put away the filth of the flesh. And if you don't put away the filth of the flesh, then you don't have the Spirit of Christ. But that's not what saves you. The Spirit of Christ coming into you is what causes you to put away the filth of the flesh after that you've been saved. And when you're baptized for the remission of sin. Whereas the Bible said there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Even under the law, it had to be purged by the blood. And your sins are taken away by the blood. But you are baptized as to relate to that crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. So then if a man is crucified, he must be buried. And in that Jesus is buried, I am buried with him in baptism as in his name, because that was him dying for me. So I have to be baptized in his name or identified with him in death, that I lose my identity through the crucifixion of Calvary, that when I am brought up out of this water as being delivered for offenses, as Jesus raised again as from the grave to the justification, I come up as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. Therefore, I am no longer what I was, but I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then am I the Son of God. And the Bible said, to as many as believe, to them gave he power, even the Holy Ghost, to become the sons of God. Or the Spirit of Christ on the inside, he gives this to you that it will cause your mind to transformate until this wonderful power of deity is released as Christ is spirit, life made manifest in your mortal genes to change you in a moment in the twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality. All right. So, I remit your sins. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. You remember he said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. To remit your sins, because judgment shall begin at the house of God. So I am called to remit your sins. As my Father has sent me, Jesus said, so I commission you. I send you, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them and then baptizing them. All right, teaching them to observe all things that he hath said and teaching them that they should repent of their sins. and be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I brought it out the other night as to what this has to do with, because this is the only mode of baptism that there is in the Bible that Jesus gave. And I said that in the second chapter of Acts, it was fulfilled by these 11 to whom he spoke. Because this was the 11 that went over to the place where they tarried in the upper room and were filled with the Spirit and then taught the people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Someone would say, well, why didn't Jesus just say, hey, go baptize in my name? You'll find, if you'll study, that everywhere that Jesus went, he always spoke of the Father and he never personally referred to himself as to the Jewish people, because he knew that that would take the glory from the Spirit, and he wanted to give the glory to God. And he knew that the body, as to the natural head, would not be with us, that only the Spirit would be with us. And he was trying to turn our minds and faith toward the Spirit, because the body had to be given up as to redemption, as to the sacrificial lamb for our sins. And only in the occasion where they said, tell us plainly if you be the Son of God. Though he spoke parabolic on the last leg of his journey, he looked at them and he said, I am he. And as he said, lest you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I go to where I came from, and you go to where you come from. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. And Nicodemus, I'm still in heaven. I've never lost my purity. I've never sinned. Satan hath no part in me. I've never done a wrong. Never had a reflect of mind or an intent of heart. I'm still heavenly. I'm still in heaven. As to my inner man, though you're looking at my natural body in this earth. All right. So he said, and from henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man coming in glory, in the power of glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father. As I said before, his name shall be called Wonderful. As to a child being born, it shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Jesus fulfilled it. For the Bible said, and his name shall be called Jesus at his birth. And it was said, I come in my Father's name. If another had come in his name, him you would have received. And Father, I have manifested thy name. And Father, I have kept them in thy name. And Father, I have not lost to one of them except Judas, as to the son of perdition, which was a predestinated devil to begin with. Before was ever born into the world, the prophet said, let another his bishopric take. So, as I said, in Acts 10, in Acts 19, in Acts 8, you'll find out that they baptized in Jesus' name, and you will find out that there's no other baptism mentioned in the Bible except baptized in the Red Sea unto Moses as a type of the prophet that was to come, even Jesus the prophet like unto. And John baptizing unto repentance, saying, believe on the name which is to come. Remission is in the name. I just baptize you unto repentance. Now you repent and you're baptized for the remission of sins. So then we see that all of this pointed to Jesus. He told them concerning the Old Testament as to the scriptures. He said to the Jews, said, you search the scriptures. You go back and read the old scrolls, he said. For in them you think that you have eternal life. But these are they, that is the scriptures. These scriptures are they that testify of me or tell of my coming. And as today, if we're the word that's known and read of all men, that's made manifest, we are they that testify of him, because the Spirit, when he comes as the Spirit of Christ, as to the truth, he will testify of me, Jesus said, and he will come in my name. All right, so we see that the name is the all-important thing. None of the name. I said the other night, there is none of the name except the name Jesus. The name Holy Ghost is not the name with remission of sin. The name Father is not the name for remission of sin. The name Son is not the name for remission of sin. First of all, I'm a son. I have a father. It's not in my name as a son or the title son, not a name, but it also is not in my father's name as to the title father. And we have a family name besides, which is called Pike. That's outside of that name. Though I'm dead to that family, though I'm dead to those things, and I'm alive forever to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I am as, that is my blood. That is my blood. As I said the other night, this is my flesh and this is my blood, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my family. Jesus said, and who is my brothers and sisters? My mother, these that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. I am of the God family. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now we're not going to get into the Godhead like we did the other night. It's going to stay with baptism. So then, judgment begins at the house of God. Think on this now. Am I waiting that someday I'm going to be judged? This is an erroneous thought that goes through people's mind, because they are taught that they sin and sin and sin and have to repent and repent. All these kind of things. Whereas the Bible said, therefore, leaving the foundation of repentance, go on and build the building. Because you can't lay a foundation over and over and over for the same house. That doesn't make any sense. And Paul was telling you that there's nothing to be received of God in that, because to begin with, you can't do that. It's a once and for all. When you repent and you are saved and your sins are remitted, the foundation is laid, and just to go back is foolishness. Because whatever you are, that's what you are. All right. So then judgment begins at the house of God, and the minister does the remitting of the sins. And remission of sin is in the name. That's why the minister who does the remitting of sin uses the name in which remission is. And baptism is for the remission, because you're baptized for the dead. So you put it together as the remitter and as the name in which remission is in, and as water which is for the remission, and you've got it. You've got it all together. So then, judgment begins at the house of God. When I preach this word, and you hear this word, it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father. Someone would say, well, how can that be, Brother Pike? It can be because before I came to know the Heavenly Father, I didn't preach. I didn't even go to church. God did me like he did Paul and struck me down. I mean, he thoroughly struck me down and turned me around. And when he did, I solemnly promised that I'd preach the gospel for the rest of my life. I'd leave off on my sinful way, and I've tried my best to do it. Now, someone would say, well, you're a man just like anybody else. You know, I just think you're up there and you're just saying what you want to say. Well, I say this. If that is true, then it's for sure that I'm a hypocrite and a devil. I think you'd agree to that. And I then, of course, have a house of fools. Because wouldn't it take a house of fools, everybody being a fool, to come to listen to a devil or a hypocrite, knowing what you're supposed to know? Let's give the Lord a hand. We're just telling it like it is so you can think it over. Find out what mind you're in and which way you're going so you can understand. All right. So then, if I'm not a hypocrite, but if I really was struck down, if I really am a man of God, and I'm really trying to do what the Lord said, then I'll speak God's word for you, that God sends will speak his word. And if that be true, then you're not a bunch of devils, but you're sons and daughters of God with a good understanding. And you're here because you love the Lord and you want to be like Jesus and you want to tell this wonderful story. I love to tell the story, the songwriter said. It'll be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. All right, so then we see here, at just a little briefing, that judgment begins in the house of God. Now, I say that you pass from your sins. I say that your sins are forgiven even before the world ever was, and the foreknowledge of God and your names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we're not waiting for our sins to be forgiven. We're not waiting for him to write our name down in the Book of Life. Somebody would say, well, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Why then are you baptizing for the remission of sin? I'm baptizing you because your sins are gone by the blood. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, to never be remembered again, thus again. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. So by the blood my sins was remitted. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And at Calvary it's brought to light to be preached as to the kingdom coming then. And men repenting and receiving the spiritual seal as to Christ's Spirit, even the kingdom of God within. As to their salvation, waiting for the change of this body, being taken care of by the grace of the blood that's on the seat of atonement, which those that are without are getting the benefit of until, as we say, Lot goes out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the very day that the church goes out, the fire and brimstone comes down as to God turning on those people out there. So he's taken care of our bodily stumblings and mistakes. Like my George Jr. said today, he said, you know, Dad said, if people would do like he was saying this morning and just know people after the spirit and not after the flesh as to all of their mistakes and all their wanderings, you know, inasmuch as we're growing from childhood to a grown person or growing up to the full stature, he said, things would be so wonderful and we wouldn't see each other's mistakes. And said the people of Bethlehem could come together, even the people of the world as to the church. The true church could come together. And that's true. That's true. You know, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, and you are God's elect by the foreknowledge of God as to predestination. And them that were predestinated, he also called when the preaching time come. And we are giving the call. Paul preached to them that were foreordained unto eternal life, and they believed, and the rest of them that was not foreordained unto eternal life, the Bible said they just couldn't believe. They didn't believe. They were skeptic. They were not believers. See, and I'm saying these things to you tonight that you might stop and think. For your baptism won't do you any good unless you understand, unless you know, unless you believe, unless you're going to live a holy, godly life. So I'm baptizing you for the dead. I am baptizing you because you've been crucified with Christ. Now, do you feel like you're dead? If you do, you don't need to come up here because dead folks don't feel nothing. They don't know nothing. And if you feel like you're dead, it's for sure that you're not dead. The Bible said that the dead know not anything. If you feel like you know a lot about this thing with any signs of discrepancy, you don't need to come up here because you're not dead. For dead folks don't do any thinking. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, are you just trying to brainwash me and tell me that I don't even think? I'm trying to heartwash you and tell you that you don't even think. Not even one. The Bible said, and casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ every thought, that you're not to lean to your own understanding. Someone would say, well, how do you get that? I get that because you're dead, remember? And dead folks know not anything. How can you be doing any thinking if you're dead? Somebody says, well, I've got to think. Oh, no. Paul said, it's not you living, but it's Christ that's living within you. And the life you now live, you live by the Son of God. And this is the mind that's in you, even the mind of Christ Jesus. So it's him living. It's him thinking. It's him about his Father's business. And you are dead, and you are buried, and you are gone. And we don't need to be grave robbers. It's to you that are still alive to go out there and dig them up. All right, that is alive in the flesh. For the Bible said, they that live in trespasses and sin, they also are dead while they live, but they are dead as to Christ. Some twice dead, plucked up by the roots, but we are dead to sin and to the world. So then what do? He said, come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. He said, for if the love of the world is within you, the love of the Father isn't there. All right, I believe this is real clear. So in the house of God, judgment begins. Now the question I ask is this. I say that we're already children of God. We're already the bride of Christ. We're already passed from death unto life. And I say that there isn't going to be a judgment. No, not one person will be judged that is a Christian other than by the gospel. To the contrary, rather than all of us going before the judgment seat to be judged, as you term it, as to the deeds done in the flesh, you are before the judgment seat and you are being judged. And some men's sins go before them to the judgment as to confess sin. And then some men who will not confess their sins follow them to the judgment that they may be judged and condemned. Whereas the Bible said, if we would judge ourselves, we have no need to be judged. But if we're judged of God, then we're chastened of the Lord, that we be not condemned with the world. For them that he loves, he chastens. Be zealous to repent. Now, the Bible says that everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, so I know that just like you know that scripture. Everyone. And that is to receive or be rewarded according to their deeds done in the body. And that is true. So then, when you stand before God, what will he give you? He has already given you eternal life. You've already passed from death unto life. You can never come into condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation to you. And the Lord hath made you bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and he hath also made you his bride. He hath been delivered for your offenses, raised again for your justification. And you cannot sin, so there's no sin to judge you for. So when you stand before him, what will he do? Like the songwriter said, what can I give the Lord? What can he do for you? Somebody says, well, doesn't the Bible say that I have to stand before God, that all people have to stand before God, that everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Indeed it does. But for what reason? Because the Bible said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? That's why they will appear there. It's so that they can judge the world. For the Bible said, inasmuch as they did it unto you or not unto you, they did it unto me or not unto me. And when the books are open, and the Bible said the books will be open, those books, that's you and me, as the members of the body of Jesus Christ in particular, an epistle that's known and read of all men. As to books, plural, measures. As to means of one composition, even to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, for we are complete, baptized into the body by one Spirit, we are complete in him. All right, nothing lacking in our life, complete in him. But then the Bible said, and the book shall be opened, the fullness of the book. For God giveth not the Spirit unto Christ Jesus by measure, but God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, tabernacling in that body. And that book was open at Calvary's to the rent veil. And I wish we had time to say something about that, but we don't. But anyway, the book was open. And at Calvary, the books were open. And I wish we had time to say something about that. But anyway, here we see that the book as to Jesus. And the Bible said, whosoever names are now found written in the book. What does that mean? Those that are not in the foreknowledge of God as to the mind of Jesus Christ, as to that mind of spirit of life that dwelt in Jesus. If you're not in there under sonship, then are you not sons? You don't have eternal life. For you're not in the book of life. You understand what I'm saying? We could say a lot more, but we won't say much more here. All right, so then I say this, that in Matthew's, as it tells us to go baptize, we're supposed to do it. I say this, that if the commission of Matthew's 28 in baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, if this commission wasn't carried out in the second chapter of the book of Acts, then it was never carried out. There is no record from Genesis to Revelation. I've read the whole Bible through, and I'm sure you have. And there is no record where the commission was ever fulfilled. And that means that
These people, contrary to what God Almighty said through the body of Jesus, went and broke the commandment and done their own thing by baptizing in the name of Jesus, or else they understood the revelation as to, and his name shall be Father, everlasting Father. The Holy Ghost shall come in his name. The Son, his name shall be called Jesus. And they went and fulfilled this commission, and very evidently they did, because all of the others followed baptizing in the same manner. All of the New Testament baptizing is in his name. And it's not until 325 A.D., if you'll check the record, it's in your libraries, check the record, at the Nicene Council as to the Nicene Creed, when the papacy took over, as I said the other night, when they stood on the mountain, Moses appeared, Elijah appeared, Jesus appeared, and Peter said, this calls for three tabernacles. And the voice said from heaven, it calls for one tabernacle. My fullness is in my Son. One tabernacle. I tabernacle in the body of Jesus. And remission of sin shall be in the name of this tabernacle. Now, we know that Peter, as we said, become the first pope as to what the world says. And yet we know that Peter was no pope. But that's where your Trinity teachings come from. And as to the keys to the kingdom, that's why the papacy believes in the succession as to the successor. Is he believes that Peter passed it down to the next pope, and the next pope to the next pope, and the next pope to the next pope, and today that they have the keys to the kingdom. But it was said, when Moses and Elijah disappeared, they saw no man. What did he say? But Jesus only. Somebody says, bless God, you ain't a Jesus only, are you? I'm not one of them Jesus only. Well, what's the matter with Jesus only? That's what the Bible said. They saw Jesus only. All right, let me take away the fear. I don't belong to what they call Jesus only. I belong to only Jesus. Now, they got all kind of creeds, from a oneness and a two-ness and a three-ness and all kind of things. My doctrine is the Bible. It's neither Trinity nor oneness nor two-ness or whatever. The Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak God's word. I'm sent of God, and I preach God's word, to go into all the world to preach God's word to every creature. And I find that in the Trinity, they are mixed up on some things, and yet they've got some wonderful things. And I find that in the two-ness, it's the same way. And in the three-ness, two-ness, oneness, it's the same way. And I also find that in the Mohammedan teachings and Confucius teachings, when I analyze them, that they've got some outstanding things for good moral traits. And if the putting away of the filth of the flesh was the answer as to salvation, I'd say that they were way out ahead of you, because even in Saudi Arabia, they wouldn't let our troops drink alcohol. And when their ladies go out, their ladies wear a veil so that you can't lust after their face. Of course, I know that's strange, and that's swallowing a camel, because the ladies lust after the men. And they just look through the veil. The Bible said, howbeit in understanding be men. But God suffers them to do that over there, because the true veil is the intellectual mind. And you're supposed to be a lady with a veil over your face as to shamefacedness to the world. And to Christ Jesus, the veil is rent in twain as to his glory, beholding him not as through a glass darkly, but face to face, to see him on this side of the veil. That's why the pool is up there. So that the veil is rent in twain at Calvary, and you, as your holy inward man made holy by the blood of Jesus, can enter into the holies of holies as the membership of Christ, into that very place of being hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the change of the body, of the restoring all things. All right, so then you see that what I'm saying is, I do not believe that God hath a bride as of now, and has sons as of now, and that the Bible said, now, beloved, are the sons of God. I do not believe that any man in his right mind would marry a woman and let that be his bride. Love and caress her the way the Lord does the church. And then after this life is ended, stand her before him and say, "Now, young lady, we're going to find out if you're decent, if you're any good, or if you're filthy, or whether I'm going to keep you or not." It would take a lame-brained person, as the world uses the old countrified term, to marry a woman and live with her just about all of his life and then stand her up before him and say, "Now, we're going to learn whether or not you're a lady, whether I am to have you as a wife or not." God is not ignorant, folks. We are ignorant except in him. But we are his bride. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And we're never going to come into condemnation. It is God that justifies. Why should he condemn us? We're not to even condemn ourselves. So then, God isn't going to make us his. And then, after being with us all this time, bring us before the judgment. Now, could you picture that? And then live with us 1,000 years in the millennium. And then after that, bring us before the judgment again. See, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. We're already his bride. We're already his children. Children and heirs and joint heirs. And we're already in Christ Jesus. And we are being baptized because our sins are gone. Because our sins have been remitted. If your sins aren't gone, in that you repented of your sins, and if you're not crucified with Christ as to putting this flesh down through repentance, you don't need to be up here. Because when I put you down in the water, I'll bring you up the same way I put you down. It won't be nothing but the waste of my time and your time. I'm not going to refuse to baptize you because it's based on your sovereignty as to repentance. But I'm going to be clear in the matter because I'm not going to have your blood on my hand. As Paul said, "I preach the gospel to you and now your blood be upon your own head." So if I bring you up here in this water has no power of remission. It's just water. The remission is in the name. And the authority is invested within the preacher. This water has no virtue in it. You understand? The name has remission of sin. And I'm baptizing you in the water. And I'm baptizing you for the dead. And the Bible said as many as have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. And the Bible said concerning the wedding supper, and we could say much about that tonight, don't come into his presence without the wedding garment. I ask of you, you bring me the garment that has been tried in the fire. There's only one garment that passed through the fire and made it through, and that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're baptized into that body, and you put on that body. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and no more is it you living. You, as through circumcision, as taken away of the body, as to the inner man being revealed, you bury that body, and water is not a make-believe. It is a grave. As I said, sailors are buried in the water. It is a grave. And when we put you down, we're not playing a game. We are burying you. Somebody said, "Well, I've been baptized about a half a dozen times before, but I'd like to be baptized again." Well, I don't like to be baptizing you again. I don't want to be baptizing you. If a man of God baptized you, and you've been trying to live for Christ, then you don't need me to baptize you because he was a man of God and he done his work and he buried you. And you don't need me to baptize you again. If you've been baptized by a woman, you need to be baptized again because the Bible said, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be under subjection to the man." I've said this before and I want to say it again. With God, there's no respect of male or female. No respect of male or female with God. But it is a true fact that the woman was found in the transgression and the man was not in the transgression because it was a type of Christ in the church to say the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh is the woman, which means you that are so hard on your wives, you're the feminine part that causes the problem. It's that old woman thinking of yours that causes all the problem that abuses the wife. You say, Where do you get that? Because the Bible said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Do you love your wife the way he loved the church? Did he talk to the church like that? Did he treat the church like that? Is that the way he done concerning the church? So you can see it's just your old wives' fables is what it is. The Bible said avoid those kind of things. That's your ideology. You know, these men like to feel superior and bless God, this little old nobody. You know, she's a garbage can. I put my hand on her head. You know, she may be a son of God, and that there's neither male nor female in God. And the Bible refers as the daughters of the Lord. And you may be a renegade that don't even measure up high enough for her to put her hand on your head. So then, if the man wants the woman to follow him, then he needs to follow Christ because he's the woman. And then he expects the wife to follow him. Let me say this to you. The woman has to be a weaker spirit. Because if the woman's spirit is not weaker, she's got a devil. Because God made her spirit weaker, so that her spirit would submit itself to you. Not you bunch of devils, but you that are sons of God, that will love her and care for her. And the Bible said to nourish her even as you would your own body. For she is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And no one yet has ever hated his own body to try to do something bad to his own body. Somebody says, well, I know people that's committed suicide. I know, because they wanted to protect the body and get out of the problems. They thought they could get away from the problems. They were still cuddling the body. All right, so then we see, brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is that the woman must be weaker, that the man's spirit being stronger, they can blend in as to a oneness. And you should love her very much and be very careful. And she should likewise do that as to the children, as to the meshes. I know this don't sit too well, but I told you we was going to talk about the streets you lived on tonight. And remember that if what I'm saying is true, then God will hold you accountable for your wife. You don't provide for your wife. You don't care for your wife. You don't lead your wife right. You don't tutor her right. You're not concerned about her. And God will get your hide. I mean, he will get you, and I mean, he will get you. The Bible said, deal not treacherously against the wife of thy youth, for God hateth putting away. So what does this have to do with baptism? Well, I'll tell you in just a few minutes. All right, so then we see the weakness of the flesh. We see the woman. She is in the transgression. So what do we do? What do we do with the woman? Someone would say, well, we kill her and bury her. And that takes care of the problem. In that we kill the body and bury the body. See, that's where we are mistaken. We don't kill the body. We don't kill the body. It's an infiltration in the body that is the image of the devil. And the process is to get the infiltration out of the body, for the body is the Lord. And we have his life made manifest. Paul said, living this life of Christ in our flesh, our mortal genes, in our flesh, right now. This is made manifest in our flesh, right now. And as to the body, it's already been redeemed, but we have to come to the knowledge of it. And once we do, then we don't have to die. What are we saying? That is baptizing in the name, being buried in the water. It is the end of the carnal man. All right, so then we see that the body of the Lord Jesus, the body of the Lord Jesus is alive forevermore. We are bearing those that have been crucified with the Lord, that they may be resurrected and presented as to a good conscience, not of the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the Bible said the answer of a good conscience toward God by baptism, wherein eight was saved even by water in the days of Noah, which is the like figure of baptism. All right. So then our sins are gone by Calvary. Our baptism is for the dead. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not us living but him. If I'm baptized in the water, then it's not needful for me to die. Though men perish, they're gods, but yet they die from lack of knowledge. That is not witting the redemption of the body. And as the time and season comes, they will. But when you are baptized in water, you are forever resurrected when you come up, which means that you do not have to die again in your body. It is not necessary for you to die again. Them that die in the grave must be resurrected. Them that was on the other side of Calvary, the Bible said, and they died in the faith, not having received the promise, for without us they could not be made perfect. Jesus coming, going down into the heart of the earth, preached to the spirits in prison, who waited as in the long-suffering of God in the days of Noah. All right, so then, when you are baptized, that means it's over. It's not necessary for you to be put in a casket. And that's why that you can be changed in your body, because you've already died and been buried and been resurrected. For the Bible said it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after that the judgment. And by Calvary, as to the body, the Lord heard us in a time accepted. He succored us. We were dead by his body, buried by his body. This is the symbolic thing of it to prove it. And in this, if we're really crucified with Christ as to the elect, we'll walk circumspectively, we'll be clean and upright, we'll let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And when we do this, it means that we are already dead. We are already dead as to the body, and we are already resurrected as to the newness of life, as to the new body, as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that God is already looking at me through my Thessalonian chains. And there's no time with God. It's from 483 to 7. I told you that this morning. There's no time with God. We are already in heaven. And at the end of this period, as you would term it, as to the church ages, the church, somebody said, it will just go out. The church has already gone out. The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, men have been translated all that time into the kingdom of God, and we're coming to the final analysis, to the grand finale right now, as to the last ones. And you are already in heaven. How are you going to be caught up into heaven when you're already in heaven? You're already in heaven, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. And the Bible said, rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. You're sitting in heavenly places. I say so often, if you're going to sit in Georgia places, you better get over in Georgia. If you're going to sit in California places, you better get over in California. And when you sit in heavenly places, it's because you're in heaven. And the Bible said, rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. As to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, Jesus said, and to Nicodemus, I am in heaven. All right, so then we see at the end of this episode, as we would term it, as to the curtains having opened on this last great drama, as the curtains start coming together as to the 7 to the 483, then the days of the Gentiles will be over. And those that have the dispensation of grace as to the Gentiles will suddenly be in darkness, and the light will be gone, which is the church. And the time of the church ages will be over. As to the church that already dwells in heaven, and all that will happen is the curtains will just close, and they won't be able to see the church anymore. As to the day star, when the cloud as to the veil comes, the light is cut out, because the light is in heaven. It is from heaven. It is in heaven. And the Bible said, no man has seen God at any time, nor can see him. And Jesus Christ alone, as you, the membership of the body, you're dwelling in that light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. All right, so then we see that what's going to happen at that time, it'll just be the closing of the curtains, and like that, you look up and there he'll be, and he'll look down and there you are, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody said, well, I feel like we've got to be raptured. There ain't no such word in the Bible, so just forget about that part of it. When we come to this, we say, but Brother Pike, we've got to go through that change. I'm going to say this to you again so you'll understand. So somebody disputes and they say, well, Brother Pike, remember this great thing, we've got to go through the change. Go through the change. All right. I said you missed it. Somebody said, well, how did we miss it? I'm just saying, if you want to look at it naturally, while I was trying to explain it, it took place, because the Bible says it's in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. I say, and you're planning to go in the rapture? You missed it. You didn't make it, because when I popped my finger, that was it. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Or had you rather me just bat my eyes, you missed it. You understand how foolish it is to sit around and wait for something like that? Folks, this is a thing as to a diplomacy of the inner man, a transitional change of the inner man. And when the Lord appears in heaven, that is, as I say, when that light strikes the snow, it melts away, and there's the beneath growth, all the vegetation underneath, it appears. So the life is already there, and sitting around waiting for some foolishness, as you suppose, is going to cause more people to be damned and lost than perhaps anything else in the world. You get right with God, you make your change, you get born again, and then thank God because you're in heaven, thank God because you are sinless, thank God because you are His son and daughter, and sons and daughters of God don't sin, thank God because you're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and the bone and flesh of Jesus doesn't sin. Thank God because all things are yours and that He has given you all things that pertain unto life. That whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. If you don't doubt in your heart, decree a thing, it'll come to pass. Ask what you will and I'll do it. And begin to rejoice in God and get away from that old hypocritical thing that I feel in a woman to my right. This morning it was an older woman, and I'll say this for her benefit. She shook that off as to the morning service, but this is a younger woman. Sitting to my right. Shake that off. Sister, there's nothing that you need except to be born again, that's all. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be thinking like that. Now, how does Brother Pike know that? I'm not even looking at you. How do I know that? Because it's horrible, the thing I feel and hear from you. You know what it is? It's that old whorish spirit. It's that old whorish spirit. All right, you love the Lord? Like a man that called me up one time on the telephone, and he was really telling me off. And he was a minister, and he was giving me a little parable about this great thing, about this great something, and whatever it was, you know. And I said, is that right? He said, yes. I said, let me tell you. I said, you know what it is? I said, it's that old whorish devil that you got, that old adulterous devil that you got, because that's what you're doing. Oh, he says. I said, yeah, that's what it is. He said, well, maybe God had you to say that to me. And he hung up. All right, so then we know who we are. We know where we are. We know what we're where we're going. We know what we're doing. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I said these things, just taking my time tonight and talking to you. I'm not against you, sister. Just don't do that in my services. That made you nervous. But don't do that in my services, and I won't be saying that about you. But if you're going to do that, then I'll have to say something about it. Because those things are against the Spirit of Christ. All right, somebody said, well, is that the only one that you feel? I feel those things all the time from different people. But people are subject to spirits to the extent that Satan is always trying to press their minds. And I don't say anything to them when I feel a spirit attacking them. But when somebody becomes as to a habitual thing, as a regularity, then I have to say something about it. The Bible said, rebuke openly that others may see and fear. You know, and not do those things. For the Bible said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Seeing that God has brought the judgments of God upon the others that do these things, and then you do the same thing. All right, so we're going to baptize now. I don't think I cut the service too short for the baptizing. So, in that I didn't, we will baptize. Can you lay this? Now, I've asked Brother Taylor and Brother David Paul to work with me in the baptizing. Let me say this. I had a call over the evening as to baptize a little girl, which I don't mind a bit. We've dedicated children many times. And the question arises then, at what age can we be baptized, Brother Pike? At the age when we come to the knowledge of right and wrong, as to really coming through the knowledge of right and wrong, as to be able to leave off with wrong. See, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And you need to be baptized for the remission of sin. But if you don't know to do right, it is not a sin. Though you stumble and stagger, Jesus said, as to you and I, lest you become as little children. We have become as little children because we've been born again. This is the second time in our childhood. And Jesus said, as to the little children, forbid them not. Suffer them to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that their angel which means their spirit on the inside, like your spirit on the inside of you, the inner man, doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, which means that their spirit has never entered into the world of accountability as to the body and to the era. They are in heaven. And if they put off the little tabernacle, they're in heaven just as much as if you put off your tabernacle. As Peter said, God has shown me how to put this tabernacle. Then you'll find yourself in the paradise of God, because the kingdom of God is already within you and your spirit is already within the kingdom of God. Somebody said, well, where am I going? Well, you think that over and maybe one night we'll talk on it. But anyway, Jesus was 12 years old as far as we find, and it was about his father's business. And as to the Jewish ritualistics, as to not just ritualistics, but that of the Lord, as to the bar mitzvah, as coming to the bar mitzvah, he was about 12 years old when he was about his father's business. And the Jews have that at about 12 or 13. And you got to admit that when your little lady or son gets about 13, they holler, I'm a teenager, and they want a car, and they want to go, and they think you're old fogey, and they don't want you to tell them nothing. All right. Now, I know there's some people that's going to be baptized. And I say this. I wish little Ernie was here. He was wanting to be baptized. He always wants to be baptized, but he's never here when I go to baptize. But sometimes the Lord suffers those things. When I go to baptize, if you know that you need to be baptized, you're welcome to come and be baptized. If you did not repent of your sins, and you went down to the water, and I baptized you, or Brother Taylor baptized you, or anybody baptized you, especially somebody that really wasn't living right, then it's no good. I know a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible says that we must repent and do our first works over. And that's true. But baptizing is not your works. That's the preacher's works. So you just get in a rut. He means to repent. He said, unless I move your candlestick, which is your spirit. The spirit of the Lord is within your heart as a light. And the Bible speaks of your spirit being the candlestick that carries that light. So then he said, lest I move the candlestick, as to moving your spirit of life out. And no more light, which is life. So when I go to baptize, if you want to be baptized, I'll be glad to baptize you or baptize you over. If you definitely are not satisfied with your baptism to the extent that you don't feel that you've done the right thing, that you've not treated God right in the whole situation, and if you will come with all sincerity. But folks, I'm like this. When I was over in Israel, I baptized some people in the Jordan, including our sister Cook out here. And there was numbers of people that wanted me to baptize them because we were in Israel and in the Jordan. And there's people that just play a game with this. They go, you know, and if they go to Israel, they get baptized. And if they go somewhere else, they get baptized. And somewhere else, it proves that the preacher don't have any understanding or he wouldn't do it. And it proves that they don't have any understanding or they wouldn't do it. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. So the preacher should have understanding and teach them the word. And if these men had understood my counsel, it would have caused my people to turn from their sins. That's the way you know they were not of God. So I would not baptize them in the Jordan because of that. But the ones that needed to be baptized, I baptized them. And it's the same here. I'll baptize you tonight. Do my best to baptize you if you want to come up and be baptized. All right, we're going to baptize. Are you ready, Brother David Paul? Are you ready? All right. Have to do like Moses said, pull off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground. And indeed, this is holy ground because we have dedicated this to the Lord, not just through the baptizing, but altogether to the Lord. It has been dedicated to the Lord. We have steps in here. You can't see them from out there, but we have steps in here. I step right here, and somebody will give you a helping hand. Now, I know and I feel like this. The Bible speaks of these things that we understand why he simply says there are certain things that we have to do, that we're called to do, and
Brother Taylor has been a wonderful instrument in helping me to baptize and some of the others. And I asked Brother Taylor, Brother Jim used to help me, Brother Jim Kirk. I asked Brother Taylor if he would, when he baptizes, if he would take Brother Collins. Because I look for a man that's decent and upright in his heart. But I can feel his spirit decent and upright. Because we are dealing with your wives and your ladies and with your children. And we're dealing, of course, with the men. And I feel that's a very sacred thing. And that it should be done very decent. Everything decently and in order. And I believe in order. And I believe in decency. I tried to administer that way to your ladies or to the girls or whoever they were that came to me. And so when we come, this is the way that we'll receive you. This is the way that we will deal with you. And I want you to know that I'm bearing you. So if you're not dead in the flesh, it won't do you no good to come. All right. So we're going to step in here. This has got... See right here, this has got a block in it. They've got this, so you can step here, step over this to the block. Whereas really, it won't be that way as we go along because it has steps to where you can come like straight down from here, a big wide step where you can step down here. It's about two steps on down the bottom. Whereas we'll have it where you can hold, go down there, and won't be any problem. But at any rate, this is the way it is right now. I'm just kind of checking to see if it's slick as to, it is a little slick, but not a whole lot. It's not real bad. Now, and the water's just about deep enough. I want to say that I appreciate Brother Howard and Brother Rob, who so wonderfully did this. And, you know, without me telling them, they just up and volunteered. It's not altogether warm, but it's a little bit cold, but it'll work.
What about a boom mic? Boom mic.
I have baptized when I had to break ice. I remember baptizing in the Carolinas. We had a couple of people there. Some of them was in the dry cleaning business, and they wanted to be baptized, and we took them out in the night, as it was said with Paul, and straightway he baptized those people. And we took them out in the night. It was so cold. Brother Taylor certainly would remember that.
Sure.
So cold. And we baptized. And we broke ice at times to baptize. And I have, by faith, in a strange state or city, not knowing anything about the area or the river or whatever, taking a chance with my life. I've gone into the woods when I couldn't see and down through the forest when I couldn't see and feel my way down to the river and have to feel my way around to see if it was over my head and still... baptize people at night because I believe in baptizing. And the water has been real cold, but this is pretty nice here. It's pretty nice, and I think it's going to be all right for you. I don't think it's enough to even cause a chill. And Sister Beachy, I want to say thank you to Sister Beachy and to the sisters that stayed up probably the greater part of last night to fix our robes, and I hope Sister Betty didn't misinform me. They're supposed to be nearby. I don't see them. But anyway, we need to have those because I have some robes that the ladies has made. And when you start stepping up the steps here, as you go to step out, they'll just drop a robe around your shoulder. And it's got a little tie to wear. It'll all be ladylike and gentlemanlike and won't be out of order as we baptize you. As I say, this is unusual for it being up here, but this is the way that it is. This is the way I understood it to be, and here it is. Someone would say, well, why did you do it? Because before the world ever was, he saw it like this, and I couldn't do it no more. Can you deny that he saw it like this? Here it is. And another thing, I've talked to Brother Atlee in the past. Perhaps Brother Atlee's forgotten, maybe not. But I told him that we were going to extend this platform, and it is to come out and a round part out here to be extended. Do you recall that, Brother Atlee? Okay, and it's fixed real nice to where it'll be extended real nice, and the performers can come up and they can sing out here as to performing for the Lord.
And if somebody said, well, are you putting on a show? Yes, I'm putting on a show. I hope you'll be there for it. Jesus said when he healed him, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And we're trying to show you the Lord and show you God's people and show you God's house and show you what we're doing. So it's a God show. All right, so then we're trying to do whatever we can, folks, not as to performance and these kind of things, as to the worldly performance, but the Bible does speak of us as being performers, and it says, as you've had a will, have a performance. So we are performers. And that's what we're here for. I'm going to ask Brother Paul if he'll come down here in the water with me. Okay, how many appreciate David? He's decided that the heater ain't working as good as the rest of y'all's working on. All right, how many appreciate Brother Taylor? You know, a lot of times I look at Brother Taylor and, of course, David and the different ones that labor with me in the gospel from time to time. And I glance up there at Brother Taylor and I think, Brother Taylor, you've been with me for numbers of years and you've stood with me on the field and wherever. And just keep on keeping on. It won't be long and we'll be standing together right there in the presence of the Lord, as you would say, just given the benefit of your thinking. We'll be standing right there and it'll be a wonderful time. We sing that song, you know, as to man's observation and his concept of it, as to sing that song, one more mile, just one more mile. And it'll all be done. It'll all be done. All right, let's sing this little chorus. Can you sing with me, David Paul?
Yes, sir.
All right. Would you like to stand with us? In the South, we used to say, would you ladies and gentlemen stand? And I'm glad I got Christians now, because that word lady and that word gentleman is just about obsolete now. You can't hardly find gentle people anymore, whether it's man or woman. Certainly not gentle men. They all want to be tough. You know, where the Bible says that the preacher should be gentle, the minister should be gentle, patient, and apt to teach, given to hospitality. And ladies, the Bible refers to the church as the elect lady. She's a lady indeed. And the evil one never touches her. Her virtues are glorious in the Bible. So the virtue as to a virtuous woman, her price is far beyond that of rubies. Speaking of you men who are the feminine part, if you are virtuous and holy and godly, and if you've left off with the world and you're walking with Christ, then are you the virtuous lady? And the Bible said otherwise your rottenness in your husband's bone, as to the Lord our Savior, who is indeed the husband to the church. All right, let's sing this little chorus, King of David. All right, Brother Taylor, let's sing Shall We Gather at the River. Now, usually we have to sing this at the river where we don't have any instruments, but tonight, this is a wonderful thing to stand here, you know, and have a baptismal pool. The Lord didn't let it get finished until it came to be that it had to do with the redemption of the body, as to George Jr. coming down, that had to do with the rapture of the church. He and his companion Becky also followed that pattern, as Brother JT's daughter linked back to Brother Brown. And great things are taking place as to the family reunion, Bob and Rob and Howard and the different ones coming in from California. It's outstanding, even with Eugene having gone out to California, time to coming back, and I'm wondering where Eugene is. I don't see him tomorrow. But anyway, this is wonderful to be able to be here just for the baptizing, and to have my son David Paul and Brother Taylor here with us. All right, the same.
Shall we gather at the river, a beautiful river.
they go out. And I want Brother Taylor, the organ. Okay, Brother Taylor. Can't keep him in enough places at the same time. All right, I want Brother Taylor right over here. Now, how many of you understand the sacredness of what we're doing? Brother Fontaine, will you come up here and help me and stand with Brother Taylor? Right. Now these people are going to stand here that after that you've been baptized, that they're going to help you out. And Sister Linda or Sister Betty is going to drop a robe around your neck. Brother Taylor, y'all should come up here without the robe and wind.
I'm sure my wife's got one for.
All right. This is old Brother Taylor. He's going to get the robes here. And I do not know how many that we've got to baptize, but I do know that for me, what about seven? Seven. No.
What's going on here?
You better explain. All right. Let's get the Lord. I noticed that Brother Ernie's not here, little Ernie, he's not here. And he wanted to be baptized so much. I suppose because Sam's in the hospital, he's there with his granddad. And I noticed that Daryl's daughter isn't here, or if she is, I wish she would raise her hand. Oh, she is here. All right, I'm so glad because she wanted to be baptized. And as I'm going to ask Rob, his wife, Brother Howard, these were wanting to be baptized. If I have this right, am I right in this? If so, would you step up here, Rob, Brother Howard, the wife? You go too. A little chilly. It's cold. Very cold. Praise God. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as to the wife and the children. And it's really a beautiful thing. Now, if I quiver a little bit, you don't have to mind the vibrations. It's okay. You're going to feel some kind of quaking anyway when you get in here. And we're hoping it's going to be the Spirit of the Lord. All right. So then you're here to be baptized. And if I don't baptize you, don't feel bad at me now. I don't mean to make you scared when you come up here. But if I don't baptize you, I have a reason for it. And I'm not going to try to embarrass you or hurt you. But I told you beforehand the requirements, what it has to be, and I'm expecting you to level with me. I'm expecting you to coordinate with me after this fashion. Is that all right? All right. Well, ladies first, so we'll take the ladies and baptize them. David Paul, can you take her hand? Betty, help her there as she comes down. Take her hand, David Paul, and help her as she comes down into the water. I know they put a heater in here, but it ain't working. That heater's like some of the people, you know, they're supposed to have something on the inside, but when you get right up to them, they're real cold. Okay. Little Sister Bennett, would you come up here? If I shake, don't pay any attention to me. I've done this one in both eyes. I have baptized so many people and been in the water so long that I actually had to run want to get out, get in the forest away from the people where they couldn't see me, and run and run until I could get the feeling back in my body. Whereas it's nothing here but just a little shiver.
You want your sweater?
Oh, no. I'm just trying to think for just a minute before we start baptizing. Now, something was said about Brother Denny's daughter. Or did I get that wrong? As to his daughter, if she was to be baptized, would she come up here? If I get this wrong, you just tell me now. Has anybody else repented tonight? There's one requirement for baptism: to repent of your sins. When I say repent of your sins, that don't mean that you play a game, you know. You repent of your sins. All right. We're going to go ahead. This is enough that's up here right now. The others will just go back to the seat and wait until I call them. We have enough up here right now. We're going to go ahead and baptize. And you know, in the world, they baptize you toward the west, or they baptize you toward the east, and they baptize you, you know, for all kind of things, but I just baptize you for the dead in the name of Jesus.
Praise God.
And that's the way we baptize, and that's what we're fixing to do. I know the water don't splash, and I apologize. But anyway, if you'll come over this way, sister. Mm-hmm. Just turn around this way, facing the ladies right here. Okay, now, if you'll do this, take your hand and catch your nose. Now, I'd rather you hold it, because you're going to be more careful with it than anybody else. You hold it, and then take this other hand and grip your arm right here, like this. Right, now I'm going to catch the arm right here. And you work with me. We've never lost a patient. They work with me. David Paul's. He's going to give me a hand to be sure. All right, can you come over this way a little bit? Now, the pool is plenty big enough. It's plenty big enough for baptizing. There's no problem. The only reason I'm taking the time is it is a little slick. This, you might have to put a little gravel-like bottom to this thing of sun because it is a little slick. And I don't want to take any chance, you know, of them slipping down. All right. Be sure to hold on, sister. And now don't turn loose. All right. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we come to you at this very sacred moment, trying to be pleasant with the people, but with all great reverence and respect, Holy Father, Lord, of this person as to a soul, Lord, as to the crossing of the Jordan of the intellectual mind of the world, Lord, to take over death by the wonderful blood of Jesus our Lord, by Calvary, knowing that the blood was shed for remission of sin, and Father, she believes that you have remitted her sin, Father, by the blood. So we baptize her in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. Somebody say hallelujah.
I baptize
folks a little bit quick. Some of them takes you down kind of slow and brings you back up kind of slow. I kind of baptize quick and not too quick. You know, I make sure that I get them under the water. But I know that they want to get out of the water. I know that they don't need to stay under the water very long as to getting nervous, excited, and turning loose. And all the nostrils and then breathing problems. So, it's still in order. Everything's fine. Take your hand there, David. And the grip is pretty good.
But I do hope for that, and then there's something to it a little bit later on. Let's turn around the lady. Okay, get over this way, let her wait a little bit. That's awesome. All right, take this hand and hold your nose. Sure to hold your nose. Take this hand and hold your nose. Okay. Just let your time come up. Let you hold tight.
You got a friend?
Now, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? That he really died for your sins? And that your sins are gone? And you're going to serve? Father, we baptize this our little sister in the wonderful name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, Mission of Saints.
Jesus, praise God.
Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. You love the Lord?
Amen. Man.
Let's go. Okay, take your hand. This one, the golden one. I can come up this way just a little bit. Father, we baptize this our sister in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, Mission of Saints. Let us say hallelujah. Now those ropes, did you tell them what to do, Betty? Is to go out and around?
Yeah, they go out and they get right back in.
All right. We hold.
Okay, that's right.
So they hold through this one. There you go. And hold through this one. Okay. All right. Now, come back this way just a little bit. I have to have prayer some more. Okay, now. Hold time. We won't lose you anymore. I think when we baptized Sister Nobby's husband, Al, he was a big fella, and she thought we might have a problem, but it worked out. Baptized him in California. Do you believe on the Lord with all your heart? Father, we baptize this our sister in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, Mission of Sinners.
Amen.
All right. Can we sing another little chorus? While the sister's coming, let's sing I Love You. Sometimes it's good to let them kind of get to, you know, chill off when they come in because it's rough. The preacher, he gets baptized over and over the chorus. All right, let's sing this together, can we?
I love him.
My children got together and they sang. And I think it's such a terrible, terrible thing as to the children not really going along with me and singing for my meetings like they used to and singing in the services. I don't bother them about it because everybody's a sovereignty. I don't like to interfere with their homes or their lives, but I think it's a real detriment as to the work of the Lord. And if they sing and praise God, you heard them today, Rob, and they could be such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But I can't do anything about it. You pray that God will help them. And of course, we're on TV here. I didn't even think about the cameras until just then. But it's catching this on TV is to baptize them here. God has a reason for it. But nevertheless, all right, come around. Maybe the Lord will get a hold of their hearts one of these days, and He'll be back with us and really soon. This whole time, everything's going to be all right.
Hallelujah.
It's cold, but it'll be all right. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus died for our remission of sins. Father, we baptize this our little sister in the wonderful name of the lovely child, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't laugh at these folks when they shake, because I'm telling you, this is cool. Yeah. I walk the crop done that either. Brother Howard won out. He was going to go down the river and be baptized in cold water. Rob, he's going to have to eat them. Howard went out here and all right. When Brother Howard leaves, somebody should use glasses to be able to come out here. How do you appreciate Brother Howard? Yeah. Would you believe with all your heart,
with all my heart,
that Jesus died for your sins and that they are God, my God? Father, we baptize this, my brother, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dad says it's not too bad. Everyone that gets baptized gets a robe. Don't you wish you'd have been baptized? It is. Been baptized into Christ, they're put on Christ.
In this San Diego water, bro.
All right. We're going to take care of these Californians and everything will be all right. How many appreciate Bob?
Amen. Amen. Bob.
Rob is doing our mechanic work for us, and I was hoping to get my son-in-law Dale down to help us. And, of course, Brother Howard, he's going to be flying for us. And if I didn't misunderstand, and I certainly hope I'm not out of school in saying this, I believe they said today that Brother Howard has got 36,000 hours, is it?
30,000 plus.
30,000 hours plus.
I think you quit counting at 30,000.
Okay. That's a lot of flying, folks. And I said to you the other night that I understand that in one day he's taken off at least 60 times and landed in one day, which is just, you know, that's slap out of my... I said that to somebody yesterday, I believe it was, and they just kind of looked at me with a blank expression. But anyway, Rob is also a pilot. He's going to be working with his dad and very wonderful people. All right. your Bible, whisper this right to you. Now, Rob, do you believe with all your heart? Philip said to the eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, then thou mayest be baptized. You believe remission of sin is in his name. All right. Father, we baptize this, my brother, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Hallelujah.
I really appreciate Brother Mike Gonzalez. He has proved to be a wonderful, wonderful blessing in that he has worked regular, real hard out in the cold rain, whatever, with us and hasn't complained about it and has been a very, very wonderful instrument in the hands of God as to help him. And for this, I'm so grateful. Jonathan, could you and your brother come up here now? Okay. How old is Laura?
I would be around.
Mike, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus died for remission of sins? And that remission of sin is in his name. Father, I baptize this my brother in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, if we can, we'd be grateful if they would return those robes as they go down into the fellowship room to change, because we need those robes again just in the event. All right, can you come on in, son? This our little brother here has given his heart to God. He has really tried to serve the Lord, Brother Tommy Clark's son. He's a fine lad. He's not been playing. He's been trying to serve the Lord. He had a little trouble getting turned around to start with, but when he turned around, he's really trying to stay with God.
Okay.
I hear him shake a little, don't worry about it, okay? I'm not nervous. All right. Do you believe with all your heart? Said if you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. Father, I baptize this, my brother, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for the remission of sins. Fix a little bit better for you. Okay. Jonathan, I also love Jonathan standing here with David. I remember the love that was between Jonathan and David. How great it was. Jonathan standing here, he has been a great, wonderful blessing to me.
Man.
He's worked so faithfully, so long, so many hours, and has stood right with me, for which I'm very grateful. I have some wonderful youth here. I mean, outstanding. God's really got his hands on me. Okay, John, can you hold up this and hold your hand? Hold tight. Rip it with your thumb. Okay, John, you believe with all your heart the remission of sin is in Jesus' name, and that there's none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except in the name. It was said in the Bible that it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Ananias said, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. All right. Father, I baptize this, my brother, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Everybody say hallelujah. Now, I'm going to let the little lady, she's about 11 years old, I'm going to let her come up here, and also little Rob here, and this little lad here. Now, we're going to dedicate you to the Lord, okay? They took Jesus into the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. And we're going to dedicate you to the Lord. And, I want you to be very conscientious. I want my lads to be very conscientious. A lot of people say, well, they just don't know. But if Jesus at 12 years old could be about his Father's business, then you should be very conscientious and approach this very seriously. And if I baptize you, that is to say, as to a dedication, just dedicating you to the Lord, then you should be very conscientious. All right? First of all, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what's right and wrong? Do you, Rob? Tell me what's right and wrong. You see, that's what I'm asking, if you know. What is right? That which is good is right. And what is good? To do what the Lord says? Yeah. And what is wrong? Not to do what the Lord says. Alright, it's to the sin of omission. Anyway, we're going to dedicate these little ones here. And this little lady is old enough to be baptized. Ain't this Dwight's daughter? Mm-hmm. I thought so. They're growing up so fast, I have to take the second look. But anyway, we're glad to have these children back with us. They've been off for a few days, and they were brought up here at Bethlehem. They're little Bethlehem girls. Very fine girls. We've got some of the finest boys and girls in the world. We're going to let you go in just a little bit. But let's baptize the little lady first. If she'll come on up. And where's my little 11-year-old girl now that called this evening that wanted to be dedicated? Okay, it's cold. Keep saying that over and over. For the one just coming in, it is cold. Can you turn around this way? Can you hold your nose? That's right. Can you do it with this hand? Right here at your wrist. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus died for your sins and that remission of sin is in his name? And you're going to serve him with all your heart. Father, Lord God of heaven, we baptize this, our little sister, in the wonderful name of your darling son, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Okay. Just hold on, little sister, just a few minutes. Okay. Came in watching all. Now the Bible said that they dedicated Jesus. They took him up to the temple and they dedicated him. And all of these children, I usually dedicate to the Lord. I pray over them. I dedicate them. And perhaps I won't dedicate some tonight as little ones. Some have asked me to dedicate some little ones tonight. Maybe I won't do that tonight. But we will dedicate them. I'd rather have it to where we're kind of try and not shivering so much. and to where we can get those things on film. But we're going to dedicate these that are older. I'm speaking of dedicating little babies. There's some little babies that want to be dedicated as to the father and mother. All right. Now, where's my other little buddy? Did he come in? Come on in, son. I'm going to ask these little fellas something before I do anything here. Do you believe that Jesus died at Calvary for your sins? He actually died for your sins, and that your sins are gone because of His blood that was shed for you. And you love Him with all your heart. And you would serve Him with all your heart to the best of your understanding. Come. Hold you. Here's this hand and the hole right there. Okay, now, I'm going to baptize these two little fellas. Sound like they know an awful lot here. And I'm going to baptize them. Father, I baptize this, my little brother, in the name of Jesus. Father, remission of sins. Father, you said, suffer the little ones to come unto you, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, and not to forbid them. And Father, we're doing just that tonight as I baptize this little one in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, remission of sins. All right. Okay. Can you go out on this side so they can help you over here? Okay, son boy, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? With all of your heart, you believe that? You repented of your wrongs, the things that you've done wrong. You're not going to do them anymore. You want to serve the Lord with all of your heart. Okay. Now, I ask these children this just like I ask you, because this is the difference between not having eternal life and having eternal life. For as many as have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. All right, Lord, we baptize this, my little brother, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay, little sisters, can you come in? Now, I want to tell you, little ladies, now you listen at me like I'm telling you little boys, and your mothers, you listen at me. Little folks, don't go home and play a game with the Lord, because I know that some of you are coming up here, and I've already caught your spirit, and I know that you're not going to be right. I know that. And it's not gonna be well with you. I'm trying to baptize you on the confession of your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And I know that you're just going to play a game with me. And I told you that I didn't want you to do that. All right. So then, little lady. This is Joe's little lady right here. Beautiful little thing. Okay, honey, I know it's cold, and Brother Pike sees you shivering. I can't do nothing about it. And now, Brother Pike's going to dedicate you to the Lord. Would that be okay? Father, I dedicate this little sister. Father, even as Jesus was dedicated unto thee, Father, I dedicate this little life and this little body to thee and thy service for thy glory. In the wonderful name of your lovely child, Jesus. Say hallelujah. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Come on in, Tabitha. This is Brother Bullard's little lady, Tabitha. Tab, do you know what we're doing? Now, Do you love the Lord? You gonna serve the Lord? You gonna try? Okay, she's being honest with me. She's gonna try. You gonna try real hard. All right. Take your hand, baby, and hold your nose right there. Right there. Okay. Now, Father of Heaven, I dedicate this little one to Thee. Thou who knowest the hearts of all people, and Father, You know the heart of these children. So merciful are You, Father, so kind and thoughtful, to work with them all the days of their life, for they belong to You, Jesus. For the body is Thine. And You said children are an heritage from God. And Heavenly Father, I dedicate this little one to Thee in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
John, you come on around.
You know, after staying here a while, you don't get warm. You just get numb. So it's getting better. I've taken them into the water that sometimes I think they thought that even if they wasn't dead when they got in there, they would be. It was so cold. But I've seen people courageously be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin when the water was so cold that it was just, you know, there's hardly any words of expression for it. But they were willing to do it. Okay, John. John, do you believe with all your heart?
Yes, Father.
Okay. Can you catch it with this hand right here? This one, you can catch it right here. Let's slide that sweater up so you can get a good grip right there. Okay. Now, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins, John?
Yes, sir.
And that remission is in His name.
Yes, sir.
You love Him with all your heart.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jesus. Lord, we baptize this, my brother, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Somebody say hallelujah. Said we've never lost a patient. In the state of Nebraska, they require that two baptized because they have lost some patients.
Brother Frank, she got you some
road. I got
the All right.
Little Will, have you repented of your sins? You believe on the Lord with all your heart, and you're going to serve Him. Catch you this.
Father, we baptize this, our little brother, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That Jesus died for the remission of your sins.
Yes, sir.
And that your sins is gone because of Calvary.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said, if thou believest with all thine heart, then thou mayest be baptized. Father, I baptize this my brother in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I say hallelujah. A
Jonathan came to the Lord not too long ago, and Jonathan had a real problem, kind of bobbing like a stump. But once he got his bearings, he's been a tremendous help to me. And he got filled with the Spirit. He actually got filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he has proven it by living the way that he has lived, good and sober. And I believe John has tried to do the best he could. All right, John. Can you hold like that? It's better to hold it with the other hand like that, and then like this is better. All right, do you believe with all your heart the remission of sin is in the name of Jesus? Father, I baptize this, my brother, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Somebody say hallelujah. Can we lift our hands up together now?
Yeah.
This is all I'm going to try to baptize tonight. I don't feel anything else. It's too hard baptizing for tonight. Let's sing the little chorus together. I will enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
I will enter His courts with praise, and I will say this is the day that my Lord has made, and I will rejoice for Jesus. Oh, my Lord's made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice for Jesus. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter into God's courts with praise. And I'll say this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus. Rejoice, for Jesus made me glad.
My heart, enter into His with praise. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus. Let's step over here just a minute. For my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Let us sing.